Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
Smoke and flames pour from an Orange Line train. Terrified passengers break windows and jump to safety.
At this point, T riders are used to being late because of the service, but what happened yesterday, a train catching fire over the Mystic River, has many of them openly questioning how much more they can take.
Those clips courtesy of WCVB, and they're from the dramatic Orange Line train fire that happened last week. And then yesterday, a Red Line train with, quote, diminished braking capacity, end quote, moved out of its rail yard before stopping just short of Braintree. No one was hurt in these last two incidents. Joining us now on the line, Representative William Strauss, the chairperson of the Joint Committee on Transportation. Representative Strauss, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for the invite.
And I'm glad to have you. I do want to note we did reach out to Steve Poftak, general manager of the MBTA, to appear with us today, but he didn't respond in time for the show. You caused a bit of a stir recently when you suggested that the MBTA as an organization wasn't necessarily worth saving. So I just want to start there, clarify
Sure.
what that means, because I think you still want trains and buses.
Well, yes, of course. And so, ironically, I presented this as an idea that everyone should not be afraid to discuss because of the obvious safety problems that have occurred and continue to occur at the T. And so I brought this up a week ago Monday at the first of our oversight hearings, and then only a few days later we had the horrible incident on the Orange Line. And so here's my point. People should not confuse the organization called the MBTA with the need to provide safe, reliable, sustained bus, subway, commuter rail service. The transportation system, of course, we have to continue to provide. That's what the public expects. That's what we pay for. But the organization itself is something very different. And the public, when they, let's say somebody gets in their car, they drive to a commuter rail station, they take the train to South Station, they might switch to a bus or subway to get to their final destination. They don't distinguish between the bureaucracy and the different boxes and entities we've set up. They think in terms of the integrated transportation system. And that's what I want people to focus on. And so, as I say, there are things that T does well. There are things it clearly does not do well.
So,
and so the things it doesn't do, we could switch over.
For that restructuring to happen, essentially the operations of the transit would go under the Department of Transportation. What makes you think that the Department of Transportation would do a better job of an Orange Line train not catching fire than the organization that is the MBTA?
So what we would do is reserve and preserve for the T. What it should be focused on in its is its operations, the daily operations of providing the train service. But the equipment, the infrastructure, that can, I believe, ultimately be given over to MassDOT, which, by the way, under different arrangements, already is the construction company, if you will, for the MBTA. And the reason this idea occurred to me is 2.5 years ago, we had what everyone refers to as the LaHood, after the former Secretary of Transportation nationally, the LaHood report, which identified about safety. And one of the key findings was the T is unable, and this was 2.5 years ago, unable to handle both operations and its capital work, the construction and things like that. So we have to think in terms of, again, what are we trying to provide for transportation? And I am not surprised. I've already seen people who think the T itself stands above and has to be a separate organization. Frankly, I'd invite them to think broader. And I think after what we saw last week, I think the public is getting the picture, too.
To that point, and we're speaking with State Representative William Strauss, the chair of the Joint Transportation Committee. Two things. First, we had Boston Mayor Michelle Wu here in Studio 2 yesterday for our regular segment with her, and she talked about taking drastic action. Here she is.
it is time to talk about just ripping the Band-Aid off and taking drastic action. It would be tremendously disruptive, but we are at that point where prolonging this will make it worse and continue to bring about safety issues.
And I sort of juxtapose that, Representative Strauss, with a conversation we had with Massachusetts Congressman Stephen Lynch recently, where he said, listen, the T can operate safely or it can operate efficiently. It cannot at this time do both. So have we crossed a Rubicon where the truly drastic measures need to be on the table? And can we move fast enough on drastic measures to provide relief for riders?
I don't think we have any choice. Look, I, like everybody, watching the video footage, and you played the audio from the Orange Line, first you might think, well, what if it was me? But even more chilling is everyone who saw that had to think, what if that was my son? What if that was my parent? And so this is an unfortunate situation. I don't think we needed to be here because all the things that were identified years ago have sadly come true as risks. But here we are today, and we have to do something dramatic. And while it will take money, I think people have to understand it's not a matter of just writing a check to the T and it will get better. We've provided them, and the taxpayers through the sales tax, provide the T over $1 billion a year into its budget. So funds are there. It's something else which I called last week the missing ingredient within the T as an organization.
So,
and my example I point to is we abolished the Turnpike Authority 10 years ago when it had really no purpose. And frankly, no one misses the Turnpike Authority today.
Last question for you. MBTA General Manager Steve Poftak publicly addressed the Orange Line incident last Thursday. Here's a bit of what he told reporters.
Obviously, this is a frightening incident and not the type of service that we want to provide to our customers. I want to offer my apology to the folks who were on that train who had to experience that.
Meanwhile, Jennifer Thompson Sullivan, who was on the Orange Line train that caught fire, wrote in the Boston Globe, quote, I don't trust Baker or Poftak. I have no confidence in them. I don't feel safe. The things I'm being told are not consistent with my daily experiences, end quote. You have another hearing coming up. What is your responsibility in that hearing in terms of restoring trust in the MBTA?
Well, the calendar is going to give us new leadership and a new governor in January. But on a much shorter time frame, I think it's our responsibility within the committee and the legislature as a whole to identify the things that can occur now because the public wants answers. And I will just say in terms of the two incidents you identified, the Orange Line and then yesterday with the Red Line, with that phrase about the brakes leaving Braintree heading north into Boston, almost as if something I know they do in the airlines and aeronautics, something like a much more detailed with responsibility to inspect the equipment before it leaves the station. And to go to the image I identified before, everyone who works there, and these are great people, they just need better direction from and leadership from management. Everyone should think of that it's their relative on that train today.
All right. Representative William Strauss is the chairperson of the Joint Committee on Transportation for the state of Massachusetts. Thanks so much for taking the time to talk with us.
Thank you.
All right. So what does this mean for those of us who rely on the T? Stacey Thompson is the executive director of the Livable Streets Alliance, and Jared Johnson is the executive director of Transit Matters. They both join us, and Stacey's here in Studio 2. Stacey, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Jared, thanks for jumping on the line with us.
Of course. Thanks for having me, Tiziana.
So, Stacey, facial expressions. You were here listening, so let me give you your first chance to react to what we heard from State Representative William Strauss there.
Yeah, my initial reaction, this will not surprise folks, is that I disagree with Rep. Strauss. And I think it's the idea of...
about what?
About restructuring the MBTA. You know, obviously, we all want to have a good transit system, but it's very much putting the cart before the horse. And frankly, I think it's potentially an attempt to distract from the core issue, which is deep underinvestment in the system, right? When you look at a Mass Taxpayers report that came out in 2021... Before all of this happened, it showed that we were leading to a scenario where we would need an additional $500 million every year for the operating budget. that we are going to need $25 billion to keep up with basic maintenance.
So who's on point for that, Stacey?
That is the legislature and the governor, period. And so what we have seen over the course of several years is the governor, the T literally showing, going off a fiscal cliff, publicly sharing this information, the governor not doing anything about it, putting forward a budget that doesn't do anything about it, and the legislature not holding hearings, not pushing harder. And so those checks and balances, those having hard conversations about funding this system properly, about confronting the challenges that we face, have not happened. I will note there was an attempt to put forward a transportation financing bill in 2019, 2020. The House did pass a version of that, but it died shortly thereafter. So, you know, I feel like it's easier or more comfortable to say, well, maybe we should restructure, or maybe we should think differently. And it's a lot harder to say, look, we have to talk about dollars and cents and get real about funding the system. And this, the dollars that I just described are basic maintenance and operations costs. That does not include climate resiliency. That does not include expansion.
So that is Stacey Thompson, who's executive director of the Livable Streets Alliance. We're talking about the MBTA, sort of the fire literally and figuratively with the T. Also with us is Jared Johnson, who's the executive director of Transit Matters. Jared, Steve Poftak, general manager, has said it will cost $300 million, roughly, to cover the fixes that are already listed by the FTA. The bill that's sitting on the governor's desk, the budget bill, allocates $187 million in operating transfer to the T. So those numbers don't line up. We're expecting more findings likely from the FTA coming forward. So how do we get over this hump, or are we still going to be talking about this in 2024?
I would hope not. And again, I think I couldn't agree with Stacey more that this is why we need to be talking about how we're going to solve how we're going to solve the funding issues of the T instead of wasting, I think, a great deal of energy and effort talking about restructuring the T only to have the same problems. There's no world in which abolishing the T and moving those functions over to MassDOT solves that issue.
So it doesn't matter who's running it if there isn't enough money to run.
Doesn't matter who's running if there isn't enough money. Exactly.
All right. So, Jared, I want to stay with you for a second. I was really intrigued by a line in an opinion piece that former Transportation Secretary Jim Aloisi wrote on Commonwealth Magazine. He was saying, you know, the T's part of its response to the safety recommendations or requirements, that the FTA has already put out was to reduce service to weekend levels. And they've said that could last into 2023. Aloisi is saying that that is unacceptable. It could be disastrous, but he goes on to say he can't believe the FTA is okay with it because it disproportionately affects people of color, people who are low income, and that wouldn't actually pass the FTA's own equity standards. So reaction to that?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely disappointing. And he's right. It is going to have a disproportionate impact. But I think, the FTA, when it comes to safety, clearly sort of, overrules those equity concerns. So, I think putting this back to the legislature is, we really need to see them. And instead of, I would have loved to have seen more drilling on what it's going to take in order to solve this issue quicker, rather than spend time talking about restructuring the T. Because again, that's the big issue, is that yes, it is. It's unacceptable the idea that we might have, weekend service and we might have this reduced service, well into next year.
So Stacey Thompson, Jared just talked about, clearly FTA is putting safety before equity. Rings again in my head having Massachusetts Congressman Stephen Lynch say here on the show, the T can operate safely right now or it can operate efficiently right now, but it can't do both. So even if we had all the money, and even if we took Boston Mayor Michelle Wu's suggestion, shut down huge swaths, take the pain, do it all at once, how long before we're out of the safety dilemma for the T?
So I think my gut, this is Stacey Thompson by herself trying to predict the future, is that if we have a governor that takes the twilight hours of his administration seriously,
this being Governor Baker,
and we have a legislature that is willing to roll up their sleeves and continue to work with advocates to fund things properly, that I believe we can get through the worst of the sort of chronic immediate stuff by September, October, November, December, by the end of the year. The kind of capital investments that we need are going to take much longer. Those will take years. I tend to agree that shutting down a portion of the system, running shuttles, those types of things that Michelle was talking about, those are capital investments. Those are going to those should happen in sort of sections instead of sort of delaying the pain. But what I would say, and I think Jared would agree with me on this as well, is that the T could be doing more now. I don't think it's an either or. I think we have a lack of creativity. So, for example, why aren't we letting people who live next to commuter rail stations within the MBTA region use their Charlie card to get on the commuter rail service? And why aren't we running more commuter rail service within the core so that we can alleviate stress on the T, right? Why aren't we offering more rider appreciation? Why aren't we offering more flexibility? There is so much we could do to make it easier for people to use the system if we're not trying to nickel and dime them.
All right, Jared Johnson, last word goes to you.
Yeah, no, I agree completely. It's that we really have to get creative on this. You know, we've got to be talking about, you know, rather than shutting down the system for, you know, entire weekends, you know, can we shut the system down early and have really good bus service, you know, to replace that? But ultimately, you know, as Stacey said, it's got to be, you know, this governor stepping up. It's got to be this legislature stepping up. And providing the T with the funding, and then the T has to get creative and has to really take diversion seriously. And I think that's how you're going to get the support from people to shut down the system and take these really really dramatic, drastic actions.
All right.
But, you know, it depends on our climate and equity really depend on it.
Jared Johnson is the executive director of Transit Matters, and Stacey Thompson is the executive director of the Livable Streets Alliance. I appreciate the time from both of you today. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.